Running your own business can feel isolating, but you don't have to figure it all out alone. Join a free guest session inside the Smashing the Plateau community to get fresh ideas and real solutions to your biggest business challenge. Spots are limited. Reserve yours now at smashingtheplateau.com/guest. That's smashingtheplateau.com/guest.
I think one of the aspects that you don't have in a community that you do have when you are in a corporate structure. In a corporate structure, you are under a punishment and reward system. And in a community, that is taken away. So I think that the sharing, the ability to be vulnerable, the ability to admit that you don't know, and I'm interested in understanding what you know or how did you do it, as a much more free flow of sharing.
Today's guest is Badwine Birch, a leadership consultant, executive, and life coach. In this episode, Bao explores why community has become essential for solopreneurs in today's rapidly changing world. He discusses how the right community can transform both your well-being and your bottom line, the power of collective intelligence in navigating uncertainty, and why interdependence, not independence, is the key to sustainable success. Bao reveals the neuroscience behind why feeling safe in community directly impacts your decision-making and profitability. He also shares what makes certain communities effective versus others and why corporate refugees especially need this kind of support system. If you've been building your business alone, this conversation will challenge how you think about growth, support, and what it truly takes to thrive as an entrepreneur. Now let's welcome Badwine Birch. Bao is a leadership consultant, executive, and life coach who helps people discover how to bring out the best in themselves and others. He designs and leads customized leadership development workshops for executives and facilitates large-scale cultural change events for companies and communities worldwide. Together with his wife, Reva Greenberg, he supports people living with diabetes to flourish rather than just cope. He lives in Brooklyn, New York. Bao, welcome back to the show.
Thank you for having me, David.
A pleasure. So in prior episodes, we've talked about a variety of issues that are applicable in particular to solopreneurs, like effective leadership, self-care, and strategic planning. But one theme that's been continuous in our discussions is community. And you and I had connected on and off for years in some in-person workshops that we held. And then we launched the Smashing the Plateau community, and you joined at the very beginning. Why is community so important to you?
Yeah, you know, a lot of my work consisted of traveling globally, and I basically had community with the clients that I had there. And also I worked in networks with other consultants, mostly in Europe. But my home base was here in Brooklyn. And then in 2016, when I was really tired from all the physical traveling, and I think I was really maybe 6 months away from a burnout, I decided to take a sabbatical. And that's also when I got really my feet on the ground here in New York. I've been living here, originally coming from the Netherlands, since 1999. And then one of my friends, Ken Gorfinkel, whom you also have recently podcasted, took me to one of your events. And of course, I kind of lost my connections, my community, my in-person connections with people in Europe. And so I came to one of your events, and there were like 40 people and, you know, presentations and on books that were written by some of your members. And I really enjoyed that. And it's lonely. Because from that moment on, I was kind of reinventing myself. I was looking at how I was working, my narratives. And so for me, it was important to be part of a group of people that I trusted, with whom I can share my ideas, to get some feedback. And sometimes you invited me to present. That was nice, because that's another way of getting feedback. So it's really important to be part of a community. And I think it's, you know, before you're an entrepreneur, you're also a human being. And we are very dependent as mammals on each other. I mean, if a baby is born, then, you know, if it's left alone, it just dies. So we need each other. We are safer in a community. We want to belong. And also, we want to be seen. It's important that you matter. So I think it goes really to the root of who we are as a human species.
Yeah. What kinds of communities have you experienced, Bao?
Yeah, so I'm actually currently part of a number of communities. One is around complexity science, and we meet every Friday, and it's on a particular methodology on how you can also do problem solving in complex domains. And I am still also part of a community around a Chinese health approach called Qigong, which are health exercises. And I have a variety of teachers, and with some of these teachers have a community. So I'm regularly online with them. And then in a very distant past, I was also a member of a club. Now, a club can be also a community, but I was part of a chess club. And for many of my formative years in my teenage years, that was a wonderful community that went further than just playing chess. I remember that one of the members was also studying for economics, and I had lengthy conversations with him because I was contemplating studying economics. So I felt that was also a very nice community for me.
So the communities you mentioned have several aspects that I'm taking away from this. Learning is one. Socialization is another. What might be some other assets that you might tap into in community?
Yeah, I think that if you look at the bigger context in the world where we live in, you know, in business, there's this concept of we live in a world of VUCA, meaning the world is very volatile, very uncertain, very complex and ambiguous. And when there are big changes taking place, whether it's political, economical, or right now from a technological perspective, we as human beings need to do some sense making. So that we need to do enough sense making to understand what's going on in order to be able to act safely with intelligence in that world. And right now, a new civilizational technology has been introduced, artificial intelligence. It's changing how we work in organizations, in how we interact with organizations, in how you find simple things like what should I buy. AI is everywhere. Now, what does it actually mean? And it can be pretty overwhelming if you have to do it all alone. So I think that one of the things you tap into is the collective intelligence or the collective wisdom in a community so that you can learn from each other. You can learn with each other. What is this technology all about? What can you do with it? What can you not do with it? And if you haven't looked at it, and some of the people in your communities have, then you can really learn from them. And it's like a shortcut. You don't have to do all the work yourself. We had in our community last week, Troy, who shared how he was using AI. And I found that fantastic. I mean, it was a new way of how I saw him use AI, and I learned a lot from that. So when you get together in a community and you trust each other, you know each other, then together to learn, to open the collective intelligence and to together make sense of something new, I think that's invaluable.
Yeah. Do you feel like there are practical outcomes when you're addressing these issues that are affected by the volatility, uncertainty, and complexity and ambiguity in our world?
Yeah. For example, if going back to that session that I attended also where Troy was presenting how he was using AI, you know, he was referring to certain software. And so for me, it was very practical to make notes and say, okay, I have to figure that one out and see if I can use that maybe. So these things can be very, very practical. It may be a title of a book, or somebody says, well, you need to look at that website, or why don't you try this? And this might be a particular practice. So yes, I feel that that's can be very, very practical. And it's the kind of practicality where, you know, we also kind of grow up, and I think it's more pronounced in the United States and in the Netherlands where I grew up, but certainly it's also present there, that we kind of need to be independent. And I think that that is really a myth, because to begin with, we need the trees that produce oxygen and the plants. So we are dependent on the trees and the plants to be able to live. I think it's much more accurate to say that we need to be interdependent in a healthy way. And then you can get very practical benefits from others that share the same interests around, you know, leadership or running your business. And even if they run business in a very different segment of the economy, they can give you feedback on how they have overcome certain challenges that maybe you're going through right now. So I feel being part of a community can be very, very practical, not just a nice to think about.
So if this notion of interdependence is, if we accept that that is an important aspect that is going to help us and help our businesses succeed more effectively, maybe succeed faster, what are some of the aspects of interdependence that we should be looking at when we're trying to decide whether or not to seek some kind of community to help with something, or what type of community to seek, or who we should look for to be in that community?
You know, I was trained originally as a business economist, so I'd like to think in terms of cash flow and profitability. And it is well known, based on tons of research that it's out there, that if you're a solo entrepreneur and you are part of a community where you're getting feedback, where you are being held accountable in a volunteer, you know, voluntarily, because it's something you choose to. But it is well known that when you do that in a community, get feedback, ask for feedback, you ask to be held accountable, that your profitability increases by a factor 3 to 4, simply because it also prevents, when you're all alone, what we call strategic drift. You're chasing one idea like at another and another and another idea when something is not working. And you prevent that when you are in a community and people call you out on that and say, well, you haven't really followed through on that idea. You're already moving to the next one. Can we take a deep dive in the obstacles you're experiencing and how can you get over that? So I think feedback, accountability, and compassionate support. I think simply people saying to you, oh, I get where you're at. I went through such a period. The relief that you're not alone in having a certain challenge is enormous. You know, peer groups, support groups run on that that aspect in if you join a community.
Yeah. Do you think that compassionate support can actually have a financial impact?
Yes. The reason is that when you are facing challenges, we as human beings will experience stress. And what stress is that you're totally identified with a topic and you feel resistance and your whole nervous system goes into an overdrive. When you are part of a community, what happens in a community is what we call in neurobiology co-regulation. And so if somebody else is calm and shares how he or she has gone through something similar and how they've overcome that, partly because they are staying with you in your difficulty and understanding that, they will also help your nervous system to calm down. When you are calmed down, we know that you have much more access to your intellectual repertoire. You're much better able to make decision making rather than doing, you know, kind of panic stuff. And we have to really understand that if your mind is in chaos or in overdrive or in overwhelm, the only thing that can come out is overwhelm and chaos. So the chances, the probability that you will make the wrong decisions are much higher. So I think being part of a community and receiving compassionate support, yes, it will have indirectly and directly impact on profitability, on wise decision making. I'm convinced of that.
Okay. So are there things that would happen inside a community for corporate refugees that you think might be particularly effective for the kinds of challenges that they typically deal with?
I think one of the aspects that you don't have in a community that you do have when you are in a corporate structure, you are under a punishment and reward system. And in a community, that is taken away. So I think that the sharing, the ability to be vulnerable, the ability to admit that you don't know, and I'm interested in understanding what you know or how did you do it, as a much more free flow of sharing. I think the sharing in a corporate setting is much more calculated. And I'm not saying that that's wrong, but it's much more calculated. And I think the sharing in the community that we also have here with the Smashing the Plateau community is much more free-flowing. It's you know, that there is no punishment. There is no necessarily reward. Does that answer part of your question?
Yeah. I'm also wondering if there are certain techniques that you have experienced that you think are particularly effective when they happen inside a community that is specifically focused on helping corporate refugees.
Yeah. I think when we've done some of our in-person community sessions, that the kinds of tools to open the collective intelligence are really used without thinking like, well, is what I am going to write down, is that going to be used against me possibly? So all of that kind of calculation that may happen in a corporate setting, because there are compliance rules, there's all sorts of rules and regulations and punishment and reward systems in place, that you're much more on guard. And the way I have experienced our in-person sessions, it was just, you know, free flow. And so the kinds of tools that we have used that typically open the collective intelligence, whether it was with post-its or with using triangles where you put dots together, just to do the sense-making together, are really, really used in a free-flow way, I would say.
Yeah. And you know, I have to admit, experiencing these sessions and what we do in our online community, I've always been somewhat surprised and also heartwarmed at the willingness that our members have and our participants have had in discussing where they're challenged, because you can't really work on a solution until you actually share where what the challenges are and where they are.
Yeah.
Yeah, the willingness to be open is something that I really appreciate. I know that that's what leads to the kinds of positive outcomes that we have. Yeah, yeah. But I've been surprised that there isn't that much reluctance to share some of these vulnerabilities.
Yeah. Well, I would say that is a testimony to what in the neurobiology is being said is absolutely fundamental for us as human beings, is that we have to feel safe. And you cannot engineer safety. It's a felt sense that kind of emerges. So the safety and the trust come together. And certainly, I'd be curious to hear from you. I think that the way you have run the community for quite some time now must have imbued feelings of safety in people. And then when you're safe, we as human beings, we're opening up. Stephen Porges, who's one of the experts in neurobiology, he says one of the best things that you can do for others, if you want to bring out the best in them, is to make sure that the environment is safe.
Yeah, I certainly get a sense that people feel safe sharing what they share. I can't quite tell you how that happens. Definitely, it is part of the culture of our community. I've certainly experienced this in other communities that I am, where I'm a participant, and it makes a huge difference.
Yeah.
In what happens and the kinds of benefits people get as a result.
Well, would you not also say? I mean, you've also worked in a corporate setting. Would you not say that when you are in a corporate setting, when you are in a meeting, you know that people are looking at you. You know that you will have to contribute. If you say the wrong thing, it may have consequences. If you say the right thing, it has other consequences. But you're constantly being, or you may constantly feel that you're being assessed. And I feel in our community, that's not at all the case. I'm not being assessed when I say something. And so what do you think?
Yeah, I agree with you. And yes, I've spent, you know, significant chunk of my career in a corporate setting. And yes, you are being assessed. That's how the performance evaluation happens. So everybody knows that whatever you do or don't do is going to be part of your assessment. So yeah, people tend to be very, I'm going to say, careful and guarded about what they share and what they don't share.
Yeah, yeah. So in a way, another way to look at the kind of community that we are part of is that on the one hand, it gives you a foundation for well-being. There is safety, you're not being necessarily assessed. And then on the other hand, there is also a kind of collective advancement. You're helping each other to advance in whatever your business is. You're learning together, you're learning from each other. So I think that is really very, very important in any community that you want to be part of. And if you leave the corporate sector, there is a danger that you fall into a vacuum and now you're all alone in this and you want to build your own business. It's so easy to identify with a problem and to ruminate about it and to think it out of proportion. And then when you feel safe in a community to bring that up, others can help you to put things in better perspective. You have thinking partners to help you do the problem solving. I think that's advancement. And then there is this foundation of feeling safe, piece of well-being.
Yeah. So is there a way you might sum it up to kind of bridge the gap between being independent, being in your own business, and also benefiting from this kind of collective intelligence?
Yes. In a way, almost what you are, you have your own business, so that's yours. And you have the community. And it's like having a virtual organization. You're running your own business unit and you're totally accountable for your profitability. You can make the decisions. That's yours. But you also have a virtual organization where you can reach out. But you can reach out without the punishment, reward, and assessment systems that are usually part and parcel of a corporate setting. So that means you have safety. You have belonging. And you're being seen. And those are fundamental for us as human beings. And I think that's critical.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not a nice to have. I would say it's a must have.
Well said. Bao, before we close out, is there anything else that I haven't asked that you'd like to share?
Yeah, well, what I'd like to share is that if there is a time when you need a community, I would say it's now. The world has accelerated so much. There is complexity, ambiguity everywhere. And we have a new civilizational technology that's only in its infancy, artificial intelligence, but it's already changing things. And I think we all need a trusted community to make sense of it so that we can individually choose, make our decisions and act. So I would say community is very, very important. And I think, unfortunately, you know, that's in the United States, we are losing community. One of the first books that wrote about that in the early part of the century was about bowling alone.
Right, right.
And that has been recently followed up by another book. So choose a community where you feel at home, particularly when you are a solo entrepreneur, and then be part of it.
Thank you for sharing that as well. Bao, if someone wants to go deeper with anything that you've shared today, access any resources you have, or get in touch with you, where's the best place to go?
Yeah, I have on my website, spimanagement.com, I have a contact form. And what I'd like to do for your listeners, David, is to whoever writes to me, the first email I get will get a free coaching session. I have a thriving coaching practice, so I've been coaching people for decades, and I'm very happy to offer that to one of your listeners.
Thank you so much. And the website is?
SPImanagement.com.
Great. So, Bao, thank you so much for taking the time to join us today on Smashing the Plateau. Yet again, share some great insights. My guest has been Director of SPI Management, Bao Dwine-Birch. Thank you, Bao, for joining us.
Thank you for having me, David.
Running your own business can feel isolating. That's why we created Smash Through Your Business Roadblocks, a live interactive session where experienced professionals bring real challenges and work through them together using the Smash framework. It's your chance to experience the Smashing the Plateau community, a space where corporate refugees support one another to keep moving forward. You'll leave with fresh momentum, clarity, and maybe even a few new allies in your corner. Guest spots are limited, so grab yours now at smashingtheplateau.com/guest. That's smashingtheplateau.com/guest.